what we want to do at Breeze is we want to bring Bitcoin to every app. That's the goal of Breeze. And the reason that we want that to happen is because we want value to move the same way that information moves.
Maybe those aren't the applications that change the world, but they normalize what you're talking about here. Everyone now has a Lightning wallet. Everyone now understands how it works. And then when it's introduced into other, maybe more consequential apps in their life, they get it.
It's a real movement. And if it works, which I believe it will and very confident in, then I see this having a real positive impact on accelerating Bitcoin as a medium of exchange.
People want to feel engaged with what they're working on. And I think it's the reason you love your job, I love my job, is because we feel like we're working on something important.
My mission is to bring Bitcoin to as many people as possible. And the way that I'm going to do that is bring Bitcoin to every app. That, I feel, is the sign off of where I see the world.
Hey there, Michael here with the Bitcoin Way podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Today on the show, I have Danny Stagg. Danny is the chief marketing officer at Breeze. They are doing some really cool things. We talk about one of the big projects they've had going on the last couple of months, but this cuts through so much of the noise. We talk about the importance of Bitcoin as a medium of exchange and how he thinks the world is going to be onboarded into Bitcoin. Very cool stuff they are working on. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone. Like I said in the intro, I've got Danny here with me. Danny, welcome to the Bitcoin Way podcast.
Thank you very much, sir. Looking forward to talking about all things Bitcoin.
This will be fun. Always is. Okay, man. So, hey, you work in marketing at Breeze, CMO, and you guys are doing some pretty cool things. I want to start before we jump into this this project, this hackathon that's going on or that's been going on. How do you think about what you're working on at Breeze specifically? And like, what's the primary mission here? Like, what is the goal? What does success look like 5, 10, 20 years down the road? Because I think that's going to set the stage for the importance of what it is that you're running right now.
I mean, it's a great way to kick it off. So basically, the goal of what we want to do at Breeze is we want to bring Bitcoin to every app. That's the goal of Breeze. And the reason that we want that to happen is because we want value to move the same way that information moves. And we believe that Bitcoin is the best medium for that. It's a digitally native asset. We all know that, you know, I don't need to sell Bitcoin to your audience. But basically, that's what we want to achieve. We want to achieve it so that you and I, just in the same way that we're exchanging data right now, can exchange value. And so that's the goal that really drives us, drives me. And it's why I'm at Breeze. My real ambition is to create something new, to create a way that we move cash in the real world online. And that's what gravitated me personally towards Bitcoin and kind of accelerated the mission at Breeze too.
So I don't remember when it was. Do you recall in the last, I don't know, decade, people were talking about like this notion of micropayments, you know, kind of like zapping sats, you know, like, but there were obviously hurdles with the construct of the legacy financial system. Everything moves slowly. Settlements, very difficult. Lots of third parties involved. Do you think if those hurdles didn't exist in the fiat system and it was easier to instantaneously move very small amounts of value, do you think that that is something that would already exist today, but by virtue of those constraints, it doesn't? And so Bitcoin is the opportunity for that?
Yeah, I think again, this is the way we look at the world, right? So if we look at, my background before this, I used to work at a remittance company. And understand how money moves around the world actually is really interesting to me. And so from micropayments to large sums, I find that now interesting. The 16-year-old me would be laughing at me right now going, you find money interesting? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. It involves everything, right? So if we go like, how does money move today, right? It's walled gardens, third parties, intermediaries. And that doesn't really happen in the real world when we use cash. If you can talk about it and go on a meta level of like who controls the cash, et cetera. But like you and I on the street, I hand you money, that's it. But in our online worlds, we've never done that. That we've always had to go through someone else to do it, right? And that's created walled gardens. And those walled gardens have promised things like what you've said, with micropayments, but within their terms, right? Within their garden, within their playground. And that's essentially the problem. And so step forward, Bitcoin, and what Bitcoin offers is a digitally native asset. It's not an asset that's digital, that's wrapped around an analog asset like a stable coin is. And you're able to move it in the same way that you move information online. And so when you talk about like micropayments and stuff like that, the promise of those maybe didn't happen or hasn't happened at scale because of the way the system's set up. There's always been a cost, and that cost has then kind of made those folks that want to send smaller payments or that you want to do, you know, move smaller sums, kind of ignored them, right? They've not been used. And now obviously today we're optimizing that margin, but there's still a margin. And Bitcoin offers a solution that allows you to do these things in a way that I guess we haven't had the opportunity. So that's kind of what I'm saying is that, so you're saying, hey, it hasn't, why has it not happened today? Surely we've got all the solutions. We've got the solutions built around the old system. And I am not interested in recreating that system. I'm interested in a new world in which we can do things in the same way that the internet, and again, it's making me sound like a boomer if you say it like this, but the internet totally transformed the way you and I are communicating right now. Dropped the cost, allowed us instant access to information, everything, right? It's hard to get out of this mindset because the mindset today is almost like it's a fiat mindset, I guess. That's what it is. It's just you're stuck within these constraints that even the term payments is a fiat term, really, because the idea is it's just me moving value from one to the other. But we've created this weird setup in the online world. So again, that's why Bitcoin's the solution, is that you're able to do things that you simply can't do today. And that's not me going maxi or Bitcoin rhetoric here. That's facts. And use it specifically from a technical angle. And so that's why I think this is the solution, rather than that there are other solutions. I think it's the only one that can do the job to create something different.
Yeah, and certainly with trust minimized and all the things we like to talk about in Bitcoin. So this is not a direction I was planning on taking the conversation. I would be curious, though, if you could, maybe as someone who's worked for a remittance company, explain the mechanics, the hoops, the third parties that a payment or a, you know, that the value transfer has to go through in today's world versus, you know, what we're looking at when Bitcoin becomes the method for doing this.
Yeah, well simply Bitcoin is you and I, right? Peer to peer. And so there are peer to peer solutions out there that use the concept of peer to peer, but they're using intermediaries to do so, right? So I have my bank, you have your bank. I then maybe if I'm using a card, the card process is going to the bank. Bank is going to your bank, that bank's going to your card. There's so many different things that are happening out there. And every single part of that, someone's taking a cut, right? And so when you think about, say, let's use remittance. Remittance is a really good example. To move money between, say, the UK, where I'm from, to the US, where I now live, it's pretty cheap, being honest, relative. It's not that expensive. But it's not that expensive because we've reduce the margins, but we're also cross-subsidizing elsewhere. And this is where it gets a little bit messy. If you're trying to remit money to countries that maybe need to remit money, suddenly that cost goes up. And that cost is, there's a reason the margin is higher. There's bureaucracy, there's the way it's done, it's harder, regulation, all of these things, and it ramps up that cost. And so the beauty of Bitcoin is that I'm sending to you and that's it, right? There's none of this other nonsense. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a, you know, that the old system doesn't have ways it works. They're fitting use cases really well. But again, they're putting you in the mindset of that it's only done this way. Payments is a siloed experience. What I'm trying to maybe elaborate on here is that moving money between you and I is not got these blockades, and it's actually, even right now, imagine on this call I can just push money to you. That's pretty insane without all the back end stuff that can happen. And that's the way that I see the world, that value is almost part of the experience. Value transfer, sorry, is part of the experience rather than this separate one. And so, again, when you look at the remittance world, there's costs there. Payments in general, there's just costs everywhere. And you can go on an even higher level about, you know, then start thinking about how money moves, the cost of money. Basically, there's someone always chipping away to take their cut. And so we're trying to change that, right? And so I tried to step away from maybe the kind of more aggressive posturing that some Bitcoiners have. And I get it. I get that, especially when it comes to other solutions out there. But I look at those other solutions and I want to be positive in how I change that. And so that's why I'm talking about it like this. I'm not saying, oh, all of these people have got it wrong. They have. But I'm trying to say to them, hey, this is why we're right. And that's probably the approach that I think might win.
So one of the things that has not necessarily concerned me, but I've sort of assumed is for Bitcoin to scale in some of the ways that you've described, we may have to concede some of the benefits that we love to brag about on layer one, right? I mean, you can own a UTXO, you can self-custody, you can move it whenever you want, slower than, you know, like an L2, like Lightning or something like that, but completely trustless, like everything that Bitcoin represents. My sense, the world can still benefit from the fact that it's scarce, it's not centrally managed, but there may come a day where to onboard 8 billion people, there is more trust introduced into the systems. You might have to rely on third parties that have, you know, earned a reputation for operating in good faith. To some extent, the way that you might have to with, you know, choosing a bank or something to that effect. That could be a technical misunderstanding or maybe pessimism on my part. Is that probably to some extent a reality, though, if we are to scale these sorts of payments to 8 billion people in the future?
Yeah, look, I think it's okay. Taking a step back, whatever happens in the future, technology consistently moves ahead, right? That's kind of the beauty of what happens. And so when you're saying about, like, will every single person be operating on the main chain? No, they won't. And that therefore does mean there'll be some compromises. And that's not a bad thing to say. Like, people just need to know and accept those trade-offs. And that's okay. And again, the way that we look at this, let's say at Breeze, is we believe that Lightning is the common language of the Bitcoin economy. So Lightning is this... Lightning allows these subnetworks that are being developed to all talk to each other via Lightning. So the idea is, eventually the end user, you're not really going to know what subnetwork you might be working with, but Lightning will connect it. So you'll be doing one, you know, transaction to another without necessarily even feeling that. That's a way away. But, like, the idea is this. Lightning is the common language. The subnetworks are thriving, and that's how we see it. And so at Breeze, we have our SDK, and we have two nodeless implementations, one of which uses is the Liquid implementation. The second is Spark, which is new, and both have trust trade-offs. And that's cool. And to take a step back, what matters is bringing it to the user, and how do you scale to the users? And these users, they want the best user experience. A lot of them, like, sorry, Bitcoiners, some folks are very passionate, and that's okay. That's not an issue. But you have to remember, who are you building for? If you're building for yourself, great, cool, enjoy it. But we want to build for the billions out there to give them a better solution to bring them into our world. And if they want to then, you know, change the way that they interact with Bitcoin, that's fine too. But the idea is that we want more people as Bitcoiners. And to do that, we need to use the best technology to do that. And to your point, you're on the money. These are where the trade-offs come in, and it's okay. It's not a, this isn't a purist argument. Like, you know, oh, it's un, yeah, guys, come in the real world. Like, I don't know, you're using your pet, getting your parents on Bitcoin. I bet your parents use, you know, iMessage, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, all of these apps, right? They moved to that world. They did it because it was so accessible. That's what we need to do with Bitcoin. You can't just get, you can't just put these barriers up, because then you're just creating your own walled garden in a mental way, I guess. And then you're not bringing more people in. We want more people in the pie.
Do you think that there, again, I hate to distract because I do want to get to
no, this is great.
To this. So do you think that, where was I going with this? Oh, I guess there's obviously a lot of contentious debate about to what degree the base layer needs to be adaptable, progressively built out, changed in order to accommodate some of the functionality that will allow what you've described here on additional layers. Do you tend to fall on, you know, closer to like an ossification, like we're pretty good, we can build effectively on this, or is there a lot of work in your view that needs to be done, or somewhere in between?
I would be lying if I had the technical know-how to talk at length when there are far more intelligent people out there that are willing to have that debate. But what I would say, and this is just from an outside perspective here, is technology grows, technology changes. You just need to make sure that you're on the right side of those changes. You can't just chase everything, but you should see, you know, where things do change. That's kind of my just general opinion on life, to be honest. Like, you can't be a Luddite and say nothing's going to change, because that would just be kind of be silly to say nothing could change. We don't know what could happen in the world. Something could happen. But what I would say is let the technical people do what they're doing. Regardless, what we're doing in the world of Lightning is we're helping build solutions that accelerate Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. And so that's kind of where I'm at. So let the technical folks have their Twitter wars, and I enjoy it reading them and then putting it through ChatGPT to understand exactly what they're talking about. But like, you know, grok. But no, that's kind of where I'm at, is that let the technical folks, but maybe the biggest point here is you're building for people. That's the end user. The end user is what matters. Your philosophical or moral goals are not what matters, because you want to bring financial freedom to more people. And so let's find the best ways of doing that. Maybe that tells you where or how I see Bitcoin's use case, which is very firmly as a medium of exchange. But I'll let the Twitter warriors have their own debates elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable position to take. I tend toward it also as a non-technical person, admittedly. I tend toward something closer to ossification, with the understanding, obviously, that there will be, you know, patches and software update. Like, I understand, I know enough about tech to understand it will literally not change forever. And we have, you know, quantum, maybe it's in the distant future, maybe it's in the near future. There are going to be things. I tend to approach it, though, as I think as Saylor sort of describes, very cautiously, because I think the reality is there may be functionality that Bitcoin could have that would enable further expansion, optionality for 8 billion people, that maybe isn't worth the risk of opening up. And so, you know, to the extent that we can roll things out very slowly, very conservatively, I think tends to be the position I take. With it, again, to your point, without knowing, you know, I don't trust any software developer to have accounted for everything, because they haven't historically, and they never do. And it's not their fault. It's just, you know, it's easy to get excited about a new feature and not to realize, you know, the Pandora's box you might be opening up on the back end with something else. So I think I think you take a reasonable position there. Okay, man, let's talk time to build. Why don't you tell everyone what it is? I'd love to hear the backstory, how this came about, like what the concept was, who's involved, just kind of anything and everything.
Perfect. So first of all, Breeze, most folks in the Bitcoin world will know of Breeze. We build our Lightning SDK that allows any developer to effortlessly add Bitcoin to their app. It's free, it's open source. as I mentioned, we had the Nodeless SDKs. We have two implementations, one being the Liquid and our new one being Spark. And one of the things that historically has been maybe a thing about both Bitcoin and Lightning, this is difficult to build with. And that's changed. Simply put, the reason it's changed is that we have the tools like the SDK. We now have the thriving subnetwork, and Lightning's firmly solidified itself as the common language of the Bitcoin economy. I think I did a report earlier in the year on Bitcoin and the idea of moving value with Bitcoin. And at that point, we said around 600 million could be reached with Lightning today, theoretically. And that's even more now with what Square are doing, releasing payments everywhere. So anyway, that gives you the context of both Breeze and our kind of offering. And so time to build came from the fact that we want to accelerate Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. And one of the ways that we believe that that could be done is introducing it to applications. The reason we believe applications is the same way that you could look at how the camera or the digital camera was absolutely transformed by apps. Before apps were introduced, your camera was just a camera. It got better. But once you introduce apps, payments, Instagram recipes, blogging, this, that, you name it, right? The world has become a wild place thanks to applications. We think the same will happen to Bitcoin and open up new use cases and opportunities. So this brings me to time to build. We believe the best place to start, Breeze is free and open source, is in the open source community. These are the applications that kind of the bedrock of our online lives, and we want to bring Bitcoin to as many folks as possible. And so what happened was our founder, Roy, was talking about this, and I work in marketing, and we put it together. And so time to build kind of formed a life of its own. It started at the start of October, and it'll be running until December 16th, where any developer in a team or whatever you are needs to add Bitcoin to an existing open source app, and you could potentially win part of our $25,000 prize pool. Our partners as well, I need to thank them. We've got Tether, we've got Lightspark, we've got Plan B, we've got Folger, PlebLab, Geyser, Draper University, and then there's 50 odd communities around the world that are involved. And it's fantastic. And so the idea is get building, use the Breeze SDK and add Bitcoin to existing open source applications. And honestly, oh, and by the way, judges as well, we need to thank them. We've got Roy, we've got Kevin from Lightspark, we've got Jeff Booth, we've got Nifty, we've got Kayam, we've got Sebash, and it's epic. And honestly, like, I'm telling you, this has been a long project to work on, a lot of late nights. You can tell with the bags under my eyes. I talked to folks in different countries pretty much every other day. I was literally this morning speaking to my guy in Zambia, DeSanjo. He's the man. And it's epic. And so that's it. Bring Bitcoin to existing open source applications and from anything, right? You could add Bitcoin to Signal. You could add it to an open source Nostr application. You could add it to calendar applications, whatever. The idea is to get building. There's never been a better time to build. The website, time2build.dev. Go on there. Everything is on there.
Awesome. Is this something you think is going to be like a recurring annual competition or one-time thing?
This is a very good question. And my gut feel, and maybe I can be completely wrong, is this becomes something that kind of morphs into something far bigger than what we've started with. Maybe it's rolling, maybe it's yearly, maybe we make the prizes bigger. We're up against other ecosystems. This is another reason that we're encouraging builders to come to Bitcoin, is that you have these other blockchains that, I mean, if you have a foundation, it probably means you're centralized. But we have these folks that have that, and they have got budgets. And I'm talking big, big budgets. And they are doing some fancy stuff. I live in New York, and the money these guys chuck at stuff is wild. That's what we're up against. But David and Goliath, look, we've got, you know, we've got to be a bit more smart. And this is ideas like this, I think, are the ones that get the ground roots movement. It's the, you know, sorry, the ground roots, grassroots movement. You kind of have got to get people excited to want to do it. And I think we've got that traction right now. And this is why I think folks want to talk about it. I think it's why even non-technical people, I've got non-tech vibe coding folk that are out there having a go and seeing what they can build too. And so I see this as rolling, but who knows? I hope it is.
I hope you're right, because I agree. Like, I don't see a lot of what goes on in these other ecosystems, but my sense is that there is still a lot of VC funding. There's still a lot of that going on. And not to knock VC funding, because I know that's what, you know, like Jeff Booth is, you know, very diligently looking for good opportunities within the Bitcoin space. But the interesting thing to me for these people who are funding like other blockchain technology, other, you know, crypto coins and that is, and we're going to talk about this, the importance of store of value and medium of exchange is, I'm shocked that they have not done the diligence to understand that the value that they're trying to exchange in these, you know, other projects is a useless token that is not going to retain value. It won't store or retain value over time. And so I'm shocked that there aren't, I guess I understand why they would get into a project, rug pull everyone, you know, make a bunch of money over the course of 6 or 12 months. I'm surprised that they would be investing in long-term solutions similar to what you're doing with Time to Build, you know, that they're trying to, you know, put XRP or Ethereum into applications or anything, because who, at the 10 years from now, who cares? That feels like a low time preference activity on a really dumb project, you know, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think there's two elements here. I think one is that folks are stuck seeing payments is a fiat mindset. I think you're just replacing the same rails, the same system. Sorry, new rails on the same system, basically. So you're just going, hey, this is how we move money around the world. Let's keep it exactly the same. But look at this new shiny rail that makes it so much cheaper. Cool. All right. So you like the status quo, but you're using new tech. Cool. That's always happened over time. Not revolutionary. Not going to change the world in the sense of it's a new way of moving funds. It's just a new gatekeeper. That's it. So for me, cool. If you want to do that, that's your battle. I think it's the wrong one, but cool. And I think the second, and I think this is what we could do more about Bitcoin, and I see a lot of people talking about it in a minute, is just have some fun. Bitcoin's really fun. Like, this is a fun world to be in. And the mindset is sometimes to always be at war and have a fight against folks. I can hate the man. I don't want to work for the man. I want to change stuff. But God, I don't want to go about it in a way that's so aggressive. And I think what actually happens is maybe we get builders that venture away because they want to build something different. And they think, oh, okay. And I think that's the fun. And so maybe this is what I'm trying to get to with Time to Build as well. I want people to enjoy it. I love my job. I love working in this. It really does kind of like make me excited. And so that's what I'd say is those two things is one, they don't really get it, i.e. what we want to do. And two, maybe as a Bitcoin community, we could be a bit more like, hey, I think the thing you're making is absolutely useless, but you've got some cool things and you could bring it into our world. That's what I would like to see. And so it's just a change of attitude. So it's a bit more fun.
Yeah, people want to feel engaged with what they're working on. And I think it's the reason you love your job, I love my job, is because we feel like we're working on something important. And I think for developers in particular, they need a new challenge. They need something, you know, they can't just sit there and write the same code every day. They need like a project to complete. I'd be curious to hear what sort of feedback through this process have you received from the builders, the people who are actually doing the work and participating?
Honestly, I think one of the things which is really interesting is that folks see the challenge of educating folk, other developers, on why Bitcoin. Really good example. One team, I haven't got the exact project name that they're working on. They went to the the maintainer of this project was like, hey, this is what we want to do, this is why I want to do it. And this person basically came back and was like, so you just want to shill this, like, as in Bitcoin, and that's just not it, right? And so the real challenge that devs have, because part of the criteria is that you need to successfully merge your code to be eligible for the prize, is that you need to work with these maintainers. It's actually, devs have to be marketers, basically, and they've got to go to these guys and go, hey, like, that's not what I'm here for. This isn't like get rich quick. This is actually a technology that could allow your users to effortlessly move value in a way that they previously can't. And that, I'm not saying buy Bitcoin. I'm not saying, you know, hodl forever. I'm not saying don't spend your Bitcoin. We're saying, hey, we want to make your tech better. We have this technology. And so that's some of the stuff. Other projects as well. This person who's working on gaming. They're working on some gaming infrastructure. Some other folks looking at some plugins that could allow folks to accept Bitcoin effortlessly. And so there's things that are all very different. Some people look at it from a purely technical. Some are looking from experience. I know that some folks are talking about how we could weave into, like, maybe email and messaging, which I think is, personally, I think that's an area that I would look into if I was a dev. But yeah, this is, it's a real mix. And like I said, 50 odd communities around the world, every continent except Antarctica. So penguins aren't coding on this, but everyone else is. And so, yeah, this is pretty cool. And I love it because I get to talk to everyone around the world. Like I said earlier, Zambia. This afternoon might be someone in New Zealand. Next minute, talking about someone in the NYC. It's a real cool, like, obviously, one of my colleagues, Ivan, he's in Bulgaria. He was telling me about some folks he's talking about across the region that he's talking to. It's that kind of thing. It's a real movement. And if it works, which I believe it will, and very confident in, then I see this having a real positive impact on accelerating Bitcoin as a medium of exchange.
I love to hear that. So are you happy with the amount of participation you've received? Like, I don't know how you went about marketing this, because it was just, Ivan introduced us and told me that we should talk about what you guys are working on. But is this something there was, like, a lot of build up to? Did you get a lot of people on you know, online this early on?
So there was a lot of background work. So part of the work was talking to the communities to say, hey, this is what we're doing. I'd love your support, right? And luckily, folks in Bitcoin are really supportive, which is epic. And so there was a lot of, like, background work, working with the partners to help, you know, provide funds for the prize pool, working with people to get, like, Geyser helped with part of this as well, the platform in which you submit your project. They'd never done this before, this specific way. And, like, Mick was epic. He literally sat down, had countless calls with me being really, really annoying over stuff as well. And it was epic. And so anyway, the amount of projects, always want more. I feel like right now people are really heads down building. So I'm getting more folks message me that they're building rather than submitting yet, which is actually really cool, because I'm seeing folks mid-build send me, like, snapshots of what they're doing. But yeah, like, we're really confident in the kind of projects that are coming in. And again, how do we market it? You know, I'm a one-man band marketing team. It's me and ChatGPT, and we're doing a good job. We're basically out there. I think I'm a sociable person, so, like, I like talking to folks. And so I think a lot of the Bitcoiners that I've spoken to hopefully have enjoyed having the annoying Brit in their ear saying, hey, how are you? How are you? How are you? Are you all right, mate? You're all right, mate? All constant. But yeah, that's how we're getting the word out. And so I also did a big media push. Bitcoin Magazine were epic. Cointelegraph was really helpful. We've actually just got something published in one of the largest tech publications in Africa. Podcasts have been helping. And again, on social, you know, despite X's algo being all over the shop, we got incredible reach on our post. And post subsequently. And so from all that work, we've been working with these communities who are now holding their own in-person meetups. So we've had meetups, I think I just posted about it, but we had Sofia, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Lugano, two places, Lusaka, Kampala, just everywhere. Merida in Mexico, the guys at PlebLab were epic and helped us with Startup Day where they did a time to build kickoff. Dude, it's everywhere. I hope everyone enjoys it. If you're a dev, just get stuck in. And don't worry about it if you don't get it merged as well. Try and build it. Try and keep doing it to see if you can, because if you bring Bitcoin to more people, you're part of the mission.
Yeah, so cool, man. One of the coolest things about this work is just the people you get to interact with that you would never have the opportunity to do so if you weren't in Bitcoin. What's the pot of gold at the end of this? So you've got a panel of judges. How are they making the determination of a winner, and what do they get if they do win?
Yeah, so there's it's a prize pool of 25 grand, and there's three different tiers of prizes. So there's like a top tier, mid tier, and then the lower tier. And there's two special prizes as well. One kindly from Draper University to come along to their space, and as well as that, PlebLab have got like a school program for startups as well, and they're offering a prize. So there's all these cool stuff. Long and short of it, you submit your project successfully merged by the 16th of December. That's the criteria. We're going to announce it early Jan, and the judges are going to look for, hey, is this actually eligible for the challenge? But also look at, you know, what distincts one from another. And so they're the guys that are going to go through it, make sure that everything's kind of on the money. And so then if you do win, you can win, I think the top prize is 7K, and it's pretty good. Like, you're helping the mission. Oh, and it's paid in Bitcoin as well, so you get it in BTC. Again, I should probably say how many sats that is, but I don't know what it'll be whenever we are in January, right? Yeah, this is the kind of exciting. The website as well, I think, is simple enough. And I actually built the website, which I'm really proud of. I literally love, for anyone who sees it, just start screen is my pride and joy. So as a marketer, have fun with it. But no, that's it. Basically, you can win sats. You can go along to a meetup. We've got one in London this week. We've got South Korea coming up, El Salvador, Brazil, India. You name it, we're there.
Man, that's awesome. I don't know if you're allowed to share anything. Are there any projects in particular? You don't have to name like companies or brands or anything, but like maybe use cases that you've seen that you're like, this is exactly what I'm thinking of when I talk about integrating Bitcoin into an app.
Do you know what? Because it's not specifically like there, but there's a couple of devs that are looking at messaging apps in the same way that I think Cashew actually did something with Signal, or someone built a prototype for it. And I think that's what excites me most. I really want to see a ubiquitous kind of messaging app use Bitcoin, because I think that's the constant use case. And once you see how easy it is to move value, I think that's next level. So that's one. There's actually a really cool Nostr project that I really like the look of. I can't really, I think they're in the midst of seeing if they can get it merged. And then again, the gaming one, it's just random. Like, someone's saying about how they want to put it into this open source game, I think protocol. And don't quote me on this, but again, it's just, it's really the breadth of the use cases, which I find really fascinating. And you get some really nerdy folk. And by nerdy, I mean like the ones who are like creating super technical. And then you've got the kind of UX UI folk who are like thinking about front end stuff. So again, it's kind of wild. And again, you can also put it into like crypto wallets. There's wallets out there like Trust Wallet. But, you know, it's open source. They haven't got Lightning. Get Lightning in there. Do you see what I'm saying? It's such an opportunity.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm with you on the, I think the messaging apps are that's a use case that I think would just completely change the dynamic of messaging, is if you can send value. Because I think about like this, I share more social media content in messages than I do on social media. like I'm, you know, with friends, family members, that kind of thing, to where, like, if you're the type of person who brings those, just like zaps on Noster, if you're bringing value to the people in your life, that they, you know, they have a way of demonstrating an appreciation for that. The thing I think is going to be really big, though, is you talked about, like, gaming. I have a feeling, like, gaming, whether you like any of this stuff or not, online gambling, like those sort of, like, entertainment based, I have a feeling that could explode, because right now, I mean, I'm not a gamer, but my understanding is people are, you know, basically exchanging, you know, value in worthless tokens that are only valuable within the confines of a particular game that the game developer made up. And if you could transfer real world value, and turn that into like a more productive energy that you're expending, like, to me, that's a huge opportunity, because so many people are doing fantasy sports. I mean, so many different ways I could imagine this being useful. And maybe it's not maybe those aren't the applications that change the world, but they normalize what you're talking about here. They make everyone now has a Lightning wallet. Everyone now understands how it works. And then when it's introduced into other, maybe more consequential apps in their life, they get it. They already have, you know, a few thousand sats that they can send. They've, you know, the UI is much more intuitive.
And it's on the money. And I tell you what, the one thing that I love about the Breeze SDK is that, so once you get your seed phrase, if you have another one of our partners that's using that same implementation, you can use the same seed phrase in the same app. So, like, you can move around. So without having multiple wallets, you know, the idea that we'd say is like multiple balances, just have one balance and, you know, that's it, off you go. And it's not this kind of like, it's just literally, I'm in, I move my things there and that's it. But I also think you're right with the use cases. Sport, entertainment is always the thing that people like spending money on. And so we need to, like, I love Thunder Games. I love playing the games that they have with the Bitcoin rewards. I used to get so obsessed with, like, their equivalent of Tetris, that she was like obsessed. I think it's called Tetro Blocks, but the guys there, great. So I know that they've now integrated with actually other things in a different way, but yeah, I would use them.
Yeah, that's so cool. Because I think, ironically, the biggest hurdle we have isn't necessarily a lack of desire to integrate Bitcoin, but I think fiat apps like Venmo, as long as you haven't been censored, you know, your account hasn't been shut down, which actually many people, like PayPal, many people have. But if it hasn't, it's very easy to, you know, just allow complacency to find its way and you just keep using that. Bitcoin is much more like what you're describing here, all open source, much more interoperable, to where you can have one, you know, quote unquote Venmo balance. It's your Lightning wallet, but you can use it across, you know, 1,000, 10,000 apps, whatever it is that you want. And again, I think it's just going to require, those first handful of apps that a large number of people use to appreciate that it actually isn't that hard or complicated. And right now, most people in the world don't think of Bitcoin as money. They think of it still probably as a speculative investment. The minute they can begin using it as money, because that's simply how it's being, you know, leveraged in an app, I think we start to onboard and probably pique people's curiosity too, to learn more about why did they choose to integrate Bitcoin and not something else. And hopefully that's a means of not only pushing forward this medium of exchange use case that you're talking about is so critically important, but also just orange pilling people that they're like, there must be something to it, because all these apps that I'm using now have integrated Bitcoin. They didn't integrate an alternative cryptocurrency. They didn't integrate dollars. You know, what is this thing that I'm now holding? That I've got a few thousand sats. What does that mean? What can I do with it? It's like, well, you can do a lot of things with it, but you need to sort of take that first leap somehow. And maybe it's just someone, you know, sending you some sats in a messaging app, or, you know, in a fantasy football league, or whatever the case may be. So I think that's awesome, man. Any other comments on that? Because I do want to get to our medium of exchange discussion.
Yeah, I think it's on the money. And look, my mum right now has never been into Bitcoin. And one of our partners, Yapaki, has a La Loteria. It's a game. And so basically what we, I was like, Mum, you can get free sats. You can now see it. Now all the time she tells me about how many sats she has. It's amazing. So it's exactly that. People like games. People like things that can lower the barrier of entry and make it exciting. And that's an easy one for her.
Yeah. People just like seeing their balance and something that they've earned grow. Exactly. And then once the switch is flipped that, oh, this isn't just like some imaginary token, like this is the hardest money ever to exist. Mm-hmm. It like it's, there's going to be a hurdle to that realization. But when it happens, I think the floodgates just open. And then, you know, and then you've got people who don't even really fully understand Bitcoin orange pilling their friends and family because they were able to actually purchase something of real world value with these, you know, with the sats that they'd earned or whatever. So, okay, man, let's jump to, I told you, you said medium of exchange, like that's your, you told me offline, like that's the sort of the end all. We need Bitcoin to be a medium of exchange. It's what's driving the work at Breeze, the work on Time to Build, much of what you focus your attention on. Let's talk a little philosophically here for a second about why you think this is so important, because I mentioned Jeff Booth's comments that kind of went viral. It's been several months, but you know, his contention is if Bitcoin isn't used as a medium of exchange, it will fail as a store of value. I would love to hear if you agree with that, why, and then maybe just more generally the importance of the MOE use case.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, because I think, but I don't think one could be one, it can't be one without the other. So I before the call, I sent you the blog post that Roy, our CEO, wrote, which is about Bitcoin's false dichotomy between store of value and a medium of exchange. And the idea, and he goes into it at length historically too, is that basically it can't be one without the other. And that's kind of how I look at it. It can't be a great store of value without being a great medium of exchange, or knowing that you're going to exchange it. The better medium of exchange becomes, the better store of value it becomes. It's kind of the symbiotic. They can't work without each other. And so that's what I strongly believe. And I think that's why the work that we're doing at accelerating that, I think is going to have a profound effect, both on Bitcoin and for the folks that want to use it as a store of value, as a store of value as well. And so that's basically it. I think people get quite passionate about one or the other because that's where their interest is at. Obviously, I'm interested. I'm a biased opinion on this, but also I think I'm being a bit of a realist on both. I'm not saying it can only be a medium of exchange and who cares about the price. I personally am focused on the medium of exchange, but I know that they have to work together. I think when folks get a little bit like, focused on it, I think it's influenced by the situation that Bitcoin is in today. And what I mean by that is, to your point of that people view it as an asset, that's influenced by pretty much two things. One, the media cycle. And so, you know, the strategic Bitcoin reserve and Bitcoin treasury companies. And of course, you're going to see it as an asset when all you see is rich folk talking about storing it. That would always happen. Second of all, that's influenced by regulation. Regulation in the United States, one of the biggest media markets, is that Bitcoin is an asset and is treated as such. And if you were to ever think of a way to slow down that medium of exchange, goodness me, if I was a regulator, I would use the capital gains tax because that's how you slow it down. It's like the biggest, easiest way of doing it. You know, my hat goes off to our opponents there. They did a great job. That's a really good way of slowing it down. But that's my point, is that you're influenced by all of these different things out there. And it's not binary. Nothing's binary. There's always nuance. And in this particular case, the nuance is they can't exist without each other.
Yeah. I think one looking at that one direction, I think is self-evident. For example, something is not going to be a useful medium of exchange if it's not a store of value. For example, if someone sent me a bunch of XRP, because I don't perceive that to be a useful store of value, I don't care that they, that you can send it. Like the medium of exchange use case dies because people want value sent to them. And where it took me a little bit longer to come around to Jeff Booth's thesis. I told you offline that my reluctance in accepting what he had said is true was we've seen gold historically, you know, over the last, you know, 50 years since the death of the gold standard, it's continued to retain value in spite of not being an effective medium of exchange. Now it did serve as a medium of exchange, not physically, but in the form of IOUs, banknotes, for quite some time. So that's not to say that it can't be, but it's my point is it has continued to store value while failing as a medium of exchange in the over, you know, half a century. However, I think what I've come around to appreciate is that gold is sort of riding the coattails of its legacy. And it will also fail as a store of value because it is failing as a medium of exchange, because eventually people will say, if I can't actually exchange this, what value is it really holding? With Bitcoin, you don't have to sell Bitcoin off for fiat or for some other currency in order to utilize it to acquire and accumulate the things that you want in life. And I think that for me was like the light bulb moment where I said, okay, I think Jeff Booth is right about this. We need both of these things. So I don't know if you have any comment on that, but it's been like, for me, it's kind of been a journey to fully appreciate both sides, that it is a reciprocal relationship.
Yeah. No, again, it's all nuance as well, even with gold, right? Like these governments that are using fiat money, they're still using their gold to their advantage because they know they need it. So there's all different kind of philosophies. I'd say it's that. It's basically, it's not as vociferous one way or the other. My argument, or it mirrors your kind of mindset today, is just has to be both. And the better it becomes at one, you know, is because it's becoming better at another, it works together, right? And so as you're seeing with gold, that will happen. Obviously, we're also in funky times at the moment. Like, we are still only 5 years out from COVID. COVID did a lot to the world and the way that we operate that I don't think we fully understand its impact today. And so I would put that into that equation as well, is that you're seeing, and it maybe goes back to our ossification debate as well, like the world's changing. No one knows really which way it's going at the moment. And I'm excited. I'm always looking, you know, glass half full. But that's kind of where I'm at with it all, is that this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think if I were to revisit the gold topic, I think that the recent uptick in government accumulation of gold around the world has more to do with two things than anything. So one is, again, gold has a history. That's what we've always stored at Fort Knox. And so it's kind of what people know. I think also there are people in government in positions of influence who understand that what they should really be accumulating, if the goal is to store and retain value, have a neutral asset, is they should be accumulating Bitcoin. The problem is, if they make that decision to accumulate Bitcoin instead of gold, they are opting into a solution to the problems that they've caused and to the power that they wield, because they can manipulate gold more effectively. Like gold failed to do the things that the gold bugs wanted it to do, because it's inherently centralizing, it's physical, it's expensive to insure, it's all of those things that, you know, I think every Bitcoiner understands, and is the reason they found Bitcoin. And to concede to Bitcoin would be an admission of loss. And so the longer they can kick that can down the road, and maybe that's just me being conspiratorial, the longer they can kick that can down the road, I think they will. And it's a matter of time before enough people just opt out, buy Bitcoin, take self-custody, to your point, and to your project, apps integrate Bitcoin. And so that's just how people are going to, you know, by default, exchange value practically in the world. These are the sorts of ways that we win. And then governments look at all the shiny rocks that they've accumulated and say, what the hell are we doing? What a waste of time, energy, and resource.
I think you're going to find that. And again, the US is, I'm an American. I can say this about my new home country. The US has built a lot of its success off the back of being the kind of world's economy and doing a big driving effect. To radically change most of those things is not a thing that happens. Maybe it does happen overnight, but for it to happen overnight causes a lot of change in the world. And so I think you're just going to see things shift to that point. Things are shifting. Energy is becoming a far more relevant topic again. Energy and Bitcoin are intertwined too. AI, energy and Bitcoin are therefore intertwined. And, you know, you can go on a really like philosophical looking at geopolitics, but I think it's as simple as that. People are being very cautious around the world, and that's why things are just slower on this. But ultimately, if we want a different system, and if we're able to persuade as many people as possible about our mindset and view of the way that value should move, then we have a very different world. If you want to maintain the status quo and the kind of like new and shiny stuff, there you go. I think that's probably why you see the current administration hedging their bets with all various groups. Like, that's probably why, right? Is that that's what they're looking at, all the options. But we'll see. I'm optimistic. I think the thing that we, if Bitcoiners want to put their efforts towards something, it's lowering the threshold for cap gains on Bitcoin and treating it as a private currency, maybe under 300, under 600. I don't really care where we start, but basically start somewhere so that people could use it. And then they'll be using it on those Square POSs. Then they'll start seeing it in their apps when they're at, in the online world. And then you're going to see adoption go from there. So anyway, my shout out to Bitcoin is hey, stop worrying about the strategic Bitcoin reserve and Bitcoin treasury. Start focusing on pushing your local governments on how we can get that through. I think Senator Lummis and Gillibrand worked on a bill even a couple of years ago on that. And for me, that could be a game changer on the medium of exchange, which again, will help everyone with a store of value. So we all win if we put our minds on the right goals.
Yeah, time will tell how that plays out. So is someone, let's sort of head for home here, is someone who is on the front lines, I want to hear your perspective on to what extent you've tangibly seen medium of exchange use cases for Bitcoin grow. Because when I look at this, so at the Bitcoin way, we operate completely on a Bitcoin standard. This app that we're recording on is like one of the very small handful of third parties that we use, just because we sort of have to, that only accepts fiat. And so it's easy for us to see, like within our work, okay, we can operate on a Bitcoin standard. In my personal life, I have to go to much greater lengths to find people who will accept Bitcoin. And you know, I live in a, you know, I'm outside of St. Louis, so it's like a relatively smaller market in the US. I'm sure if I came to New York, I would see more Bitcoin, companies accepting Bitcoin, maybe not a ton, but certainly a nominally a greater number. Like how are you seeing the evolution of this? Is it exploding and maybe it's taking time for some of us to catch up and recognize that? Or is it just a slow fight that you think we're going to have to, you know, take on over the next 5 or 10 years?
No, I don't think it's a slow fight. I think it's just basically the US is the market that we need to unlock to feel that acceleration, really, you know, hockey stick. If you're looking around the world, there are businesses left, right, and center. We did a report earlier in the year, breeze.technology/report, if you want to download it, that focuses on this very topic. And so I went around to businesses all around the world to find out how you're doing it, from nonprofits to the guys at PubKey, obviously in New York, who operate Bitcoin payments. And then there's companies like Money Badger in South Africa that you can literally buy your groceries on Bitcoin. And it's happening and growing, and the stats are showing it too. And so my kind of thing to you there, Mercari in Japan, probably one of the biggest companies in Japan. It's like a eBay-ish type product there. They basically, just the amount of Bitcoiners that they've onboarded is insane. I haven't got the stat off the top of my head, but you can go and read it. It's wild. And they saw the demand for Bitcoin and then have now integrated it within the product. And this is what I'm trying to say is it's hard for us sometimes in the US because the US, it's almost like the front lines of kind of how you can get the rest of the world to follow. And so if you want to get it happening in front of us visibly, it's making it happen in the US too. And so that's kind of my philosophy with it. It's happening around the world and it's happening at speeds in countries where maybe the fiat system isn't working at all. And, you know, in the US, we need to try and make sure that we get it more favorable. And this is where I go back to is that as Bitcoiners, we need to focus on what matters. You know, and again, I'm biased. What matters to me is medium of exchange. But that grows. It's great. But if we were to focus our efforts on making it easier to use Bitcoin, I think that makes everyone win. And yes, you know, you can go on the whole, well, we don't need government to do this and that. And, you know, as I said, I'm an American now. I get that. but my point is you've got to work with where we are in the system today to change the system for tomorrow and look at the reality of where you're at in St. Louis. I don't know if your local politicians, you know, getting on them. How can we get more businesses? My local coffee shop, Solid State, shout out. They are the best cup of coffee you can get in New York City. And I'm not being paid for that. But it's unreal. And anyway, I was talking to the owner and just said, oh, yeah, working Bitcoin. He was like, oh, I've been trying to get Bitcoin payments here forever. And then Daniel Modell was also talking with him. And anyway, long and short, they did it off their own bat. They got Bitcoin power. I don't want to take any form of credit here because there's nothing. But what I wanted to say is they've now got Bitcoin. You can pay with Bitcoin in store. And that's the kind of thing is right is you never know who's really ready for it. And yeah, again, they're a great cup of coffee. I definitely could do with one of those today, but yeah, shout out to them.
That's so cool, man. I love it. All right. Last question for you. One I ask at the end of every episode and if you could, I would love to hear, I know that one of your strong opinions is you need medium of exchange. If you've got a different one, that'd be fun. What is an unpopular opinion you have? And you get bonus points if you offend some Bitcoiners with it.
Oh, I want to refine how I say this, but maybe it's not going to offend Bitcoiners, but like Bitcoiners, you need to cheer up. Like come on. Like the life isn't a battle. Go and touch some grass, man. Because I sit there at times and I'm like, I mean, and obviously Bitcoin Twitter is not Bitcoin. Going and seeing Bitcoiners is fun too, but there's still that rhetoric. Bitcoiners like to say, oh, it's not on Nostra. It's everywhere, guys. But Bitcoiners, enjoy the world. We live in a very, very cool world. We're living the best we've ever lived as a whole, as society. And I'm not saying, and now people would disagree with that, and I know they will, but like statistically it's true. And I think we should be really positive because I think that will bring more people into our tent. That's what I'm trying to say. I want more. I want my mum, my nan, my dad, all on the Bitcoin standard. And I don't want to see a world in which they feel as though they can't get into it because it's some kind of morality police argument. A lot of people in Bitcoin put their morals onto technology. At the end of the day, Bitcoin is just technology, but it's pretty cool technology. And if it can be used to make the lives better of millions of people, billions of people, that's what I'm here for. So when I see online some of the rhetoric or maybe some of the arguments and it all gets a bit weird, I just think, guys, go and touch some grass. Like, honestly, it's pretty cool out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like go and grab. Go, honestly, trust, like, there's days where I'm like, oh, my God, like, calm down. And like, I don't care about this. I just want my mission is to bring Bitcoin to as many people as possible. And the way that I'm going to do that is bring Bitcoin to every app. That I feel is the sign off of where I see the world.
I love it, man. I won't even comment on it. I'll just leave the audience to think about that on their own. But Danny, this has been so much fun, man. I really appreciate what you're doing. I know I work very closely with our CMO and the amount of work that goes into the sorts of events, campaigns, things like that, that you are running right now. It's a lot. And especially when you're trying to herd cats from around the world and answer questions, God bless you for doing that. Keep it up. Love everything that you guys are working on. Appreciate. I'm really glad Ivan introduced us, man. So thanks for coming on. Hey, tell people where they can learn more about you, follow you, find out about Breeze, anything else you want to introduce them to.
Perfect. Let me do I'll do the Breeze websites. Breeze, yeah. Breeze.technology. That's our website. Go on there. You can learn about us. Time to build. TimeToBuild.dev. You can follow us on Twitter, Breeze_tech. You can follow myself. I'm Danny Stagg on pretty much anything. You can find me on half the stuff. If you want to read about soccer or me just moaning about some part of culture, that's what you're going to get. You're probably not going to get as much Bitcoin content as you'd like. But I told everyone I'm basic. That's who I am. And then, yeah, that's it. Just and again, time to, if you're a dev and you're out there and you're thinking, oh, about that idea, this Sunday, sit down, grab your laptop, pop it up and have a go. And this, you know, this change the world, let's build it, because I genuinely believe we have a technology that can change the lives for the better. And we just got to unlock it. That's it.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much for the time, man. Look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Man, it's been brilliant. I've loved every second of it. Enjoy.
Cheers. And that's a wrap. Again, hope you enjoyed my conversation with Danny. I know I sure did. Go check out Breeze. Go follow Danny on X, everywhere else. Of course, do me a huge favor. If you are enjoying this podcast, this channel, give us a like, subscribe, comment, share it with someone who you think might be interested. Anything to feed the algorithm, we would greatly appreciate. And of course, go check out the Bitcoin Way at thebitcoinway.com/contact. You can schedule a free 30-minute welcome call with a member of our team. We would love to talk to you about how we can help you take proper 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin without any compromises. We help with online privacy, setting up privacy phones. We have a Plan B residency option. Many people need to be looking into that. It's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.